Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth. Absolutely, this is your podcast, and it is powered by LWYM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. And as always, this is your servant, Giovanni Del Cristo. I am the youth leader of said ministry, and with me, of course, as always, is our faithful servant, Jesus Martinez, pastor of Living Word Church.
Thank you, Gio. Thank you for another opportunity to share this podcast pulpit and to share the Word of God with all the people that listen to our broadcast.
I think today we're going to touch upon a very important, or probably the most important subject that you can deal with when it comes to all of the topics that one can extract from the biblical narratives and from the biblical messages that we find, and that is the preaching of the gospel. I wrote an article earlier this week titled Stale, A Call to Return to Effectiveness. And what we want to deal with today is exactly that the reasons, we want to examine the reasons why so many Christians are ineffective nowadays. And I think we can conclude today in a very convincing manner that the reason that Christendom, if you want to use that terminology, is ineffective nowadays in our society and in our Western culture is because the dissemination of the gospel has been at a standstill in many people's lives. Now, you're a pastor. You've been through the ups and downs of ministry. You've seen how Christians react to this sort of thing. What are some of the changes that you've seen from when the ministry or when you began in ministry to now when it comes to the promulgation of the gospel?
There is a party, if you want to call it that, a celebration that goes on annually in the city of Miami, Florida, that is at this stage known worldwide. It's known as Calle Ocho. And people travel from all over the world to get themselves out here for that particular celebration. It's something like Mardi Gras. And my father received Jesus Christ as the direct result of a pastor preaching in the midst of that celebration, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I mentioned that, Gio, because we've gone all the way from that situation, that type of freedom to preach the gospel, to a place where if I were to go to a corner in the city of Miami and just get a bullhorn and start proclaiming Jesus, I would probably be stopped immediately. And if I said, no, I have a right to do this, I'm just standing here in a corner, I'm in nobody's property, I would probably be arrested for, you know, not obeying the officer in his demand that I quit the preaching of the gospel and get on my way.
I see a bunch of hypocrisy in these terms also, because you see that on a weekly basis, and it has been documented that Muslims stop traffic in the city of New York simply to go out and do their daily prayers out in the midst of the street, and nobody tells them anything, and they're doing their daily prayers, praying towards the east, if I'm not mistaken, and whatnot. And nobody says anything, but yet you see a street preacher on the corner, and now they tell him, no, you've got to get a proper license to do what you're doing because you're holding a captive audience or you're spreading or disseminating hate speech. So what we want to get into today in today's podcast is how did we get from there, a place where we had this religious freedom, this ability to speak the gospel freely, to the point where now the dissemination of the gospel is trying to be, or people are trying to stop it, rather. People are trying to curb it right where it stands, because as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, there's a lot of people out there that hate the gospel message because it brings accountability to their lives, and they would stop at nothing to stop it.
I think it has to be looked at from two angles, the spiritual angle and then the natural angle. In the spiritual angle, we have the situation that is shown to us in the book of Daniel where the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece are doing their things, and they're creating havoc, and there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. And so we see the spiritual aspect of the battle that takes place for the mind, the hearts, the soul, and even the territory. And so I understand that from that angle, most definitely there has been there continues to be a war, a battle raged, fought for the ears, for the minds, the heart, the territory that we know as the United States of America. Now, that translates into the natural realm. And the way it translates is in the form of orders and decrees and laws. It's interesting that in the book of Romans, we see that one of the things that happens to a nation when they decree not to consider God is that their nation is turned into a reprobate mind. Their people, that is, are turned over into reprobate minds. And so I find it very interesting that Paul, in his dissertation to the Romans, he says the people decreed, the people legislated, if you will, that God would not be taken into consideration. And so therefore, God turned them over to reprobate thought, to a reprobate mind or mentality. So Gio, in my analysis of the issue, we first must deal with things in the spiritual realm. The nation has got to come to repentance. If you do that, fellowship is restored, and then we'll see this concert of activities that is, you know, it's coming from everywhere. You can't mention Jesus in schools. You can't go to the street corners. Even in the pulpit, the church pulpit, you can't say certain things now because they're not politically correct. They are crimes of speech in a nation where we have freedom of speech. We need to tackle this in the spiritual realm first, and then we can hopefully see the results in the natural realm.
And I think you would agree with me that a lot of this also has to do with the church and Christians in and of themselves. Let's trace this back a little bit to see if we can gain some historical traction to really point out a specific point in history where this shifted.
Excellent.
We've reached a critical point in our society where a good amount of Christians have become what they shouldn't be. In other words, they've become the antithesis of what Christ modeled for us, of what Christ demanded of us as believers in Him, as followers of Him, to be and that we should be. This subtle and equally destructive shift has occurred for this one very outstanding reason. The promulgation, the spreading, the dissemination of the gospel has stopped. And more countless Christians are continuing to fall into this satanic plot to not spread the gospel. And they either do it ignorantly or knowingly. Now, let's go back, like I was saying, into history. We know that during the early years of Western civilization, especially in the United States, that the gospel and its influence spread like wildfire. You see, countless evangelists and pastors were being trained in the Ivy League schools and the seminaries for the dissemination of the gospel and for full-time ministry. This was the main focus of ministries, the dissemination of the gospel, of the good news. And on the street corners and courthouses, preachers, I've got a photo of John Wesley, not a photo, I'm sorry, a painting, a drawing of John Wesley simply out in the marketplace, preaching, holding a Bible up, and people would just come around and listen, and even those that were just simply passing by, they can hear the good news without any restraint. This was what was happening in America. And let me tell you something. When you look at the effects of this that it had in our country, Benjamin Franklin, who was not a Christian, is quoted as saying the following, quote, "Wonderful. Change soon made in the manners of our inhabitants. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through a town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street." That's an amazing proclamation. This wonderful occurrence was ushered in by the fact that Christians continually spread the gospel message, the biblical message, which is the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16. But now, when we look at the 20th century, we see that there was a radical shift. The dissemination of this gospel, of this glorious gospel, my gospel, like Paul says, you know, he took ownership of it because he felt like it was his duty to spread this. This was handed down to him and to every single Christian.
He became one with the gospel.
Exactly. Now this has changed. Now when you look at the street corners today, there are no street evangelists because one of the reasons you were mentioning, now there are restrictions. You need to find a permit. In other words, government found a way to kind of curb the preaching of the gospel. You look at the schools and the universities that were training continually professing Christians in order for full-time ministry, they've changed their curriculums and their models to make them more secularized and pump out more liberals, social liberals. For example, Harvard's original motto, Veritas Christo et Ecclesiae, which meant truth for Christ and for the church, was changed. Now it's simply Veritas, meaning truth. Whereas the main emphasis of many ministers, churches, and Christians was the dissemination of the gospel, now it's simply on material things. You've got the Joel Osteens of life. You've got the Rick Warrens of life, using catchy phrases like your best life now and the purpose-driven life. In other words, the focus has been more on the material side of things. Place your focus on things that are the now, the temporal, things that Jesus said, hey, these things are corruptible, ladies and gentlemen. Put your eyes on the eternal things. Store up your treasures in heaven, Jesus says. But no, the modern gospel teaches, no, focus your eyes on the temporal. This is what you have to focus on, the American dream.
Look, Gio, even as we speak, we are trying to get some permits within the city of Miami so we can show some films, take some food, preach the gospel in certain parks here within the city limits. And the requirements are so heavy. Permits, more permits, licenses, insurance. It's ridiculous what they're asking when all we want to do is approach the people that are already there and share the gospel with them. A couple wrote to me to continue to showcase how bad the problem is. And in their letter, they said, "Pastor, we own our home. And we've been conducting some prayer meetings in our house. And we invite friends and neighbors and relatives." And the zoning department showed up. And they said, "If you don't desist immediately, if you don't stop immediately, you will lose your zoning privileges, your license to live here. We would have to, you know, put the house through inspections and everything else again, because this house is not zoned or certified for you to hold church." Of course, they're using the law. This is a home, a dwelling for maybe 4, 5, 6 people. And they're using the law to say, "You're running an illegal activity here. You're running a church out of here." And he said, "All we do is run a prayer service." So this is how bad it has gotten, Gio, in Dade County, Florida, in Miami, Florida, and I suspect in many other areas. And so it just showcases the erosion, the deterioration that we've gone through in the last, I'm going to say, 30 to 40 years. Has gotten like really bad, and now it's almost impossible.
So you would agree with me in saying that this is kind of like a twofold manifestation of sorts. You've got, on one side, legislation. Satan would be using legislators and legislation to work against the church. And on the other hand, you also have Satan using pastors, so-called pastors and whatnot, to try to take away the focus of Christians from preaching the gospel to other things that are not important.
I'm going to make this a weird coin. I'm going to make it a three-sided coin. You have on that third side of the weird coin, people that are forgetting that the church, as Jesus Christ established it, had a culture of evangelism. All you need to do is look at the book of Acts, and you'll notice that evangelism was it. But now when we look at the church, there is no evangelism going on. It's just about getting you healthy, getting your billfold fattened to the max, restoring relationships. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, and that a byproduct of the gospel will not do that for you, because it most definitely will. But we can't take that which is secondary and make it primary. And this is exactly what we have done, to the point, Gio, that we now argue about Mark 16. Doesn't that strike you funny, that Mark 16, that commands us to go into all the world to preach the gospel, is being argued, and some theologians are saying it's not found in some of the better manuscripts, when others do have it, others do include it, and we have historical documents that prove that the reading of Mark 16 was part of what the church did, the early church did, when they gathered to worship Jesus. I think it's a weird coin. It's got three sides, but this side deserves some examination, and we need to look at it carefully, because there are people within the body of Christ that are not friendly to evangelism.
Absolutely. They would rather focus on, well, like we were mentioning, the Joel Osteens of life, the Rick Warrens of life, who head off these efforts to shift the focus away from evangelism. You know, it's funny you mentioned that in the book of Acts, you see this culture of evangelism. It says there that people were added to the church daily.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure somebody listening will say, "But what do you mean they don't focus on evangelism? Look how many people they gather on a weekly basis." It's one thing to bring people in to get them physically healed, to get their billfold fattened, to get them working on improving their relationships. It's another thing to gather them, to let them know that they have a serious problem, and the problem is called sin, and there is only one solution, Jesus Christ. And some of these very popular preachers that you are mentioning, when confronted, when asked, "Is Jesus the only way to God?" they'll say, "Well, you know, we really can't say that, because I know many good people in India and in other parts of the world where they have other religions, and they could be making their way up to God. Jesus said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.'"
That's right. And it'd be good to point out on a future podcast, which I think we will deal with, is the whole issue of church marketing. Because they sell you on a lot of churches, and a lot of these ministers, so-called ministers, would sell you on the idea that they're evangelizing in order to reach the lost. But in reality, what they want to is fill the church pews. And they use very subtle business tactics and marketing tactics in order to get people to come in and give money and so on and so forth. It's a very elaborate scheme that begins with individuals such as Peter Drucker, people like that. We'll get into that on a future podcast and whatnot, but we're talking simply about a return to effectiveness. So all of these, we agree that all of this three-sided coin, so to speak, leads to Christians being ineffective and going away from, and turning away from, rather, the Great Commission, what is known as the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So now we've got a situation where churches, on one end, are ministering, if you want to use this phrase, ministering to people's lust, and therefore their attention gets put away from spreading the gospel. And on the other hand, we have legislators saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do this, to the point where they want to try to make us become like China, where it's a suppressed situation. So now, and even now, you know, I'd like to add something to that. Churches have become a place where now all doctrines are accepted. You had brought a teaching about a year ago about yoga. Now yoga and New Age spiritualism has entered into the church, which also has rendered the gospel of the preaching ineffective, diluted because of these things coming into the church.
I think the ecumenical movement that we have been talking about for years, that we knew it would come, and we knew it would come because the Bible teaches this, it shows this, is here. And so the body of Christ needs to wake up and needs to say, wait a minute, we need to go back to purity and doctrine. We need to go back to sound biblical doctrine and teaching, and we need to go back to that culture of evangelism that Jesus left in the church. And again, I read carefully the book of Acts, and I go, wow, these people were like heavy into evangelism.
The church was adding people daily. Daily, yeah. It says there.
And so that is gone. At the beginning of this podcast, I mentioned the fact that there is a spiritual side to this. And when we fail to understand what the operations of the Prince of Persia, back there in the book of Daniel, and then the Prince of Greece, we fail to understand what it is that they are trying to accomplish, then we ignore that, and we try and tackle these things on a political basis only. The church needs some repentance, and the church needs to regather itself and listen to Jesus as to what he would have us do. And I think he would clearly tell us, repentance, get your act together, get out into the streets, share the gospel, and the rest will take place as it always takes place. When people's heart get right with God,
that's right,
then the nations, the cities, the counties, they align themselves up with that.
It's funny because when you hear Paul writing, one of the things that he mentions, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, to Timothy, where he says, I've learned to live in prosperity, and I've learned to live when I'm destitute, when I'm down and out. In other words, these things are not important to him. What was truly important was the spreading of the gospel. It's like he says to the Corinthians, when I was amongst you, the only thing that I proposed in my heart to know was Jesus Christ and this crucified. It was about the gospel. It's, you know, it's like the whole phrase, kiss, keep it simple, stupid. It was like, keep it simple, stupid. Come on, Christians, it's all about the gospel. You know, it's important to keep that in mind. So we come to an agreement that Christians, many Christians, have become ineffective because they don't share their faith. And I would also add to that, that a lot of Christians, the reason that they are lacking in joy, they're lacking in peace, and they're looking to different human doctrines and strange doctrines for these temporal ideologies that supposedly provide peace, but they don't, is because they're lacking in the presentation of the gospel, because they're not sharing their faith. So they're looking to other places, strange places, to fill that void that only the preaching of the gospel can provide in their hearts and in their spirits. So it's important that we return to that. But the question is, how do we do that? And you've already touched upon it a little bit. Repentance is important. Repentance is a changing of the mind. It's a call to return to that fellowship that we once had with God, a return to scriptures, not just reading man's books, or rather just leaving the man's books for a while and simply returning to scripture and say, okay, let me return to this and leave this as my one and only authority. Let me leave the human opinions and everything else. Let me block those out for a long time. And let me just return to a simple reading of the scriptures, allow it to speak to me, and see what God would have me do, which is a preaching of the gospel.
I got a letter from a friend that said something to the effect of, if you see somebody with a worn down, dismantled Bible, his life is probably well put together. But if you see somebody walking with the Bible in perfect condition, his life is probably dismantled. We do need to get back to the Bible and listen carefully to what God says. We are in this economy of grace.
Absolutely.
And it's so simple, Gio. Just take the gospel to every creature. In season and out of season, just share the gospel. But how can we do that if our selfishness does not allow us to look beyond our own needs? And sharing the gospel means looking beyond yourself, beyond your needs, and sharing that which you have received, which is so precious, Christ Jesus our Lord, with those that are destitute, that are in need of the most precious gift ever, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Absolutely. It's important, like it says in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaking, that we now live for him that died for us. And that's the most important thing. So I guess what we're trying to say, and we'll conclude with this, if you have strayed from the precious commission that our precious Lord has given unto us, then it's time to return back to the fray. This can only happen if there is a strict dedication to understanding what the Bible teaches about God's plan for redemption of mankind, and then to circulate that message. There's no greater purpose in life than to share the gift of eternal life with everyone that you come in contact with, which is the simplest thing every Christian can and should do. I'll read one last verse and I'll give you the last word. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Any final thoughts?
Gio, I see such a need for Christ, and the field is great and is ready for harvesting, because there is confusion, there is fear, there are all kinds of worries and preoccupations and anxieties taking place in the mind and the hearts of people. And we should take every opportunity that we get to share the gospel. So I would just encourage our listeners to take time to get back into that tight fellowship with our Lord. And I think they too will hear him saying, go preach my gospel.
Absolutely. And I would recommend also to all of our listeners, specifically to those that haven't preached the gospel and you know that God is calling you, he's tugging at your heart to preach the gospel, have a simple reading of Acts chapter 17 and see how Paul did it. He was in the midst of an idolatrous people in the Athenians, and the way that he uses the situation around him to simply present the gospel, a very creative way. In him we move, we are, we have our being, and the way he presents it, you know, to an unknown God, that's the God that I preach. You see things coming out, you can learn so much about how to preach the gospel creatively that reality, it takes you over that first step of, oh man, I'm scared if they'll reject me or whatnot. What do I say? Read your Bible, and God will show you the creative ways, the best ways to preach the gospel. There will be people that will reject, but at the same time, there will be people that will accept.
Absolutely. We've got to overcome fear. We've got to overcome that mentality that says, I'm not confrontational. We have to overcome that silliness and that nonsense and get on with the task.
Well, that's what the gospel does. It confronts people about their sin.
That's just the way it is.
That's the way it is. Well, thank you again for sharing with us. Once again, in Absolute Truth, Absolutely, we want to thank each and every one of you for listening. We also ask you to disseminate this podcast to your friends and to your family members. Also, keep those emails coming. If you have any questions that you have for us or for Pastor Martinez, if you want us to touch any topics in the future, please email those to us, info@lwym.org. info@lwym.org, and we will get to those as best we can as time permits. For Pastor Martinez, this has been Giovanni Del Cristo for Absolute Truth. Absolutely. May the Lord shine his face upon you.